I create new ideas. I do. I create new ideas. I'm always creating new ideas. I create new ideas. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing, here in Campo, California, bringing you the thought for today. And the thought for today is I create new ideas. Wow, do I create new ideas. Have you ever thought about yourself creating new ideas? Creating new ways to do things and new ideas to present things? You know, as I was walking the path this morning, it was black, dark outside, and I was thinking to myself, we can do anything we want to do. We can do anything we want to do. We can create anything we want. We can demonstrate anything we want, but we have to make up our mind what it is. We have to make up our mind what it is that we want to create, that we want to demonstrate. Because we are demonstrating all the time, and it's called revealing in our new lexicon now, because it already exists, nothing new under the sun, but we are revealing things. Now, what are you revealing in your life? What am I revealing in my life? What do I want to reveal? I read an article to you this morning on abundance, prosperity. And in reading the article, you thought, hey, that's cool, that's wonderful, that's great. Actually, Sylvia read the article, but you thought that's cool, that's wonderful, that's great, but what's so great about it? All it said was you have the awareness of abundance within yourself, and you have the awareness, you have the experience of abundance in your world. And we've heard that hundreds of times before. But it's the application of these things that makes all the difference in the world. We can hear all these things and know all these things and do all these things, but it's the application that makes all the difference in the world. I have lots of people who come to me for advice and suggestions and directions and things like that, and I don't like to give advice, suggestions, directions, and things like that. I like to give them thoughts to think about. If they were to apply such a thought, what would happen? Now, if you thought that you were rich, how would you be rich? Now, our idea here is I create new ideas, okay? If you were a rich man, how would you act? If you were a person with great prosperity, how would you act? If you were a person of great abundance, how would you act? If you were Bill Gates, how would you act? Really, how would you act? Well, Bill Gates acts just like he always acted. He really didn't care much about clothing. He very seldom, well, probably didn't even own a suit up until the time that he had to go before the federal government on the trials that they had for him and for the organization. And there he put a suit on and he put a tie on, so he looked, you know, formal. But when he spoke before thousands and thousands of people at the various conferences, he always had an open shirt. Maybe he had a jacket, but open shirt. He was a very casual fellow. Probably would have been barefoot if he had thought it was acceptable. But you see, he's just himself. He's just himself. And when he goes out to eat, what's his favorite place to eat?
McDonald's.
You know? And perhaps one of these days he may buy, maybe he does have a great interest in the McDonald's as part of an investment program that he has. But he doesn't really need to worry about investments, because the money is just always there. He's not interested in money. I'm not saying that he doesn't like money, but that is not his primary interest. His primary interest is in doing the things that make him happy. Now, Warren Buffett, another multi-billionaire like Bill Gates, what makes him happy is to play with money. He likes to invest in various projects and watch them grow. That's just a joy for him. And he does not like to invest in projects that don't grow. He's got all the money in the world. He could afford to not grow on some things. And some things didn't, but it was not because he didn't plan them that way. He planned them to grow. Now, what do you plan on anything that you're in? Are you like a lot of people who come to the healing ministry and want abundance in their life, and they say, now, I don't need a lot, just a little bit. I only want enough just to pay my bills and to take care of things. Oh, that's not abundance. That's day-to-day subsistence. That's not abundance. You want to have no thought about bills, right? No thought about whatever you have and desire that it is there and paid for. You want no thought about it. You don't want to carry a wad of bills around saying, look at me, I'm a rich man, I got all these bills here, you know. And you say to him, hey, you are rich, aren't you? Are those $1 bills or $10,000 bills or $100,000 bills? What kind of bills are they, you know? What's the level of your attitude of richness about yourself? How do you conceive of yourself in abundance? Now, it's not money. An independently wealthy person, you don't know what the source of their money is. You don't know where it comes from, but they just always have it. They just always have it. If any aunt or uncle dies, they leave the money to them. And to him who has is given, and to him who have not, the little he has is taken away. That biblical saying is only too true. But think about it. Whatever you want, you live in that measure. You live in that attitude. And when you live in that attitude, then you experience that attitude. It's a it's a wonderful thing. You know, my crew here on campus are a bunch of interesting people. Years ago, they wouldn't have thought a second time about a pet. But today, Ellen, whenever the puppy comes around her, she gets a blanket and covers him. Now, years ago, when we had the campus here, and Ellen was not so much into the dogs, when Ilse or Ingeborg would cover the dog, Ellen would say, why are you bothering with that dog now? Let the dog alone. He doesn't need to be covered. And now she's doing it herself. Now, why is it that she has changed her thought about it? Because before, she was very busy about running the organization. Now, she's very busy just doing her own thing and being a happy person. Now, is she rich? Now she is. Was she rich before? Oh, yes, but she didn't know it. Because she spent so much of her time trying to be orderly and trying to, you know, make sure that everyone did the right thing here at the monastery. And in the process, she forgot to have fun. In the process, she forgot to enjoy herself as she went from step to step. But now she's enjoying herself every moment of the way. Every time she turns around, everything is just a joyous experience. If she wants to cover the dog, she covers him. Now, little Love came over to her and laid down and said, Mom, here I am. And so she reaches over into his basket and gets his blanket and takes it out of his basket and puts it on him. Now, she could say, dog, your basket's over there. The blanket's in your basket. Go get it, you know. But no. She created the dog enjoying her company, wanting to be close to her. She's got both dogs there, you know, with their noses just sticking right up in her presence. I know, in your backside, but in her presence. And they both want to be close to him. Now, they have always chosen to be close to Ingeborg. And many times they come and be close to Sylvia. But the thing is, lately, just because Ellen lives in the same house with them, they come and be close to her. They come and be close to her because she lives in the same house with her. They come and be close to her because she feeds them. They come and be close to her because she takes care of them. They come and be close to her because she's thinking about them. All right, now think about this. Now, you would like to have abundance in your life. Well, take care of your abundance. Think about abundance. Think about enjoying whatever things are important, not how you're going to enjoy it, but that you're going to enjoy it. Think about those things. That's a very wonderful thing to think about. When you think about those things, what happens? When you think about those things, you're thinking about what is enjoyable and what is wonderful for you. But really, what is wonderful for you? Whatever it is, whatever it is that you're experiencing right now is what you think is wonderful for you. You know that? Whatever you think now that you're enjoying and you're experiencing is what you think is wonderful. Because that is why you're experiencing it. Because you think it's wonderful. Now, how do you do that? How do you think things are wonderful? Do you think, oh, this dress is wonderful, this coat is wonderful, these shoes are wonderful, oh, the weather is wonderful, oh, the food is wonderful, oh, everything is wonderful? You know, if you went around doing that, outwardly, people would think that you're sick. But when you go around doing that inwardly and enjoying the fruits of it without letting anyone know your secret for enjoying it, they all think, my God, what a great creator she is. What a great person she is. What a great person he is. Everything that anyone could think of wanting, you know, they already have it. They already are doing it. That's right. Because you're putting the cause in motion for whatever it is that you wish to experience. You create new ideas. You create wonderful, abundant ideas. You create ideas of success in whatever activity you're in. You create wonderful ideas about the neat things. Now, here we have the campus with 6 houses and 6 retreats. Now, we have a number of people coming for our Christmas activity, and we're not sure how many we're going to have. It could be 2, it could be 20, and it could be 22. And where are we going to put them? Now, we have 3 houses that we're not using, and we could put them in any of the 3 houses or the retreats, but where do you think they're going to go? Where do you think they're going to create themselves going? Mentally, they're going to create themselves going to the building that is the most fun to live in, right? Mm-hmm. Now, have they ever lived in the Citadel? Have they ever lived in the Oasis? Have they ever lived in the Shangri-La? Well, if they live in the Shangri-La, they've got to be pretty primitive people because we haven't got that fixed up right yet. But the other 2 buildings are quite nice. Now, where are they going to live? Where are they going to put themselves? Where are they going to mentally see themselves? Now, when Heinz came to visit us from New Zealand, Heinz is our prince in waiting for a kingdom, although he's got pretty good control of his kingdom. Wherever Heinz goes, he always sees himself in the nicest, neatest, and the goodest arrangement, if you can say that. Every time he's been to campus, he would always go out and buy himself a mobile home and put it on the campus, or he would move it, or he'd decorate it, or he'd fix it up, and he would do things to it, and it was interesting. And then, one time when he was here, he lived in the Hermitage, which it's called now, and he and I think 12 other people, maybe 15 other people, lived in there at the same time, in that little tiny building that I live in now, and all those bodies were in there and sleeping on the floor, on the table, and everywhere. But it didn't matter because there was a great joy going on. There was a great love of sharing and enthusiasm going on. And they were rich. They were rich. People would say, why are you people all bundled up in this one little building here? You know, why are you doing that? And they would say, oh, I hadn't thought about it. I hadn't thought of it. Aren't you crowded? I hadn't thought about it, you know. When you get up in the middle of the night and you want to go to the bathroom, you have to step over bodies to get to the bathroom or to get to the door, whatever you're going to do. And you see, they hadn't even thought of it. They were abundant. They were living in opulence. They had all this land and this little building. And they were just living in a very happy time. And then we moved trailers over and did other things and expanded our opportunity, and wow, we have trailers here, wow, we have room, wow, how wonderful. You see, every step along the way was a wow, was what great advances we're making, what great movements we're making toward having a wonderful place, you see? And they appreciated every little thing that they had. They could go home to their homes in Switzerland or Germany or around the United States or wherever they were. They could go home and live in a very lovely house, which they had. They could live in a very nice room, which they have. They could have wonderful appointments available to them. But they didn't have the philosophy. They didn't have the ideas that were being shared on the campus, the richness of these ideas. And that was what they were willing to pay any price to experience. And many of them experienced it in great abundance. Some didn't. Those who didn't experience it were complaining about the outer. There were a few like that. But it didn't bother anybody else because everybody said, so what? So what? We're here. We have a place to be here. And we have a place to share and to learn together. So what? I'd write a new chapter every morning for one of my books, and then I'd bring it and read it to the group, and they'd all say, wow, wow, that's nice. Hey, that's great, you know. And then we'd read another chapter the next day. So for 30 days or better, I was reading chapters of these books, of this book that I was writing, and they loved it. But you see, that was a great and wonderful experience. And then I wrote another book, another 30 chapters, another 30 days of reading it to them. And they couldn't wait to hear the next installment of this wonderful technical informational stuff on absolute and relative and things like that. But this is what life's all about. The life of getting enthusiastic and getting excited and getting interested in doing things and creating new ideas and bringing them forth. They're all available to you. They're all available to all of us, however we want to do it. Now, all those people that were in that building, I don't remember any of them not completing all the courses. Was there anyone? I think they all completed every single course. They went through every single program we had and gained a great benefit from it. And then each stepped out into their own life in whatever way pleased them. Some chose to stay here and stayed here for, well, we had 6, 8, 10 years, some 20 years. And that's a nice longevity for people staying in a program. It must have something to offer to them. But the thing is, daily, I create new. Daily, you create new. And daily, everything wonderful takes on. Now, I'm getting a giggle here from Ellen and Sylvia, and I'm sure it's an inside joke of some sort. But they said, oh, what?
We're still here.
You're still here? They said the 20 years wasn't long enough. It's gone on almost 25, almost 30 years now.
Huh?
No, you guys came here about 83, 86, somewhere in there. And, 86, 87, and you were 86, too, about. And then, but the others came in 83, 80, 82, somewhere in there. And, but we've had a great adventure here. And we're always creating new, coming up with some new wonderful way of looking at things and accomplishing things. So I see you all experiencing a life filled with new ideas, and all are your creation, and all are your choice, and all are good and very good. I love you, I love you, I love you.